Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about teaching kinematics to upper stage primary. These podcasts are about exploring innovative approaches, sort of teaching things in a different way to different groups at different times. And look, they mightn't work, but at least thinking about it, you can actually think about the structure and whole. It gives you a new perspective. So basically, listen to this and you'll get a perspective. Don't rush into the classroom and teach a swear by all means. But think, oh, perhaps this is a way of going. And it's sort of informed by sort of innovative teaching techniques. They work to a certain degree. You put them in the sack of innovative teaching techniques, and then with the right people and the right audiences, they go together. So you need a number of things to come together for something to work, whereas things doing the traditional way have a reduced amount of work to it. I'll explain it a bit later on. So kinematics is mechanics is motion, machines motion, and mechanics is broken up into kinematics and dynamics. Kinematics is simply the description of motion. Dynamics is the motivation, or what actually drives motion. And when you actually get back to the original story, if you can hear someone making a hell of a lot of noise, I think leaf blowing opposite. No, they're just outside our back of our fence. I think. Working. Okay, so kinematics is the description of motion. Dynamics is the explanation of motion. So it's hard to explain it if you can't describe it. So we start off with kinematics first when we go into it. And we don't really explain it. Although, when you first sort of people's development or natural development of things, they see that things move. And the actual word motion comes from motive, the ancient belief that things move because they wanted to. Sort of, why do they want to move? So in the basic preschool universe, a rock falls because it wants to get to the ground, and indeed that was why the ancients thought of things. So motion is one of these really fundamental things, and it's something which at the end of the day required calculus to describe, and calculus is the science of the infinitesimal. So it's adding up to 10, 1 to 10, counting 1 to 10, but even more slowly count, rather than fives, in twos, ones, halves. You count even small, you count to the same total with a greater number of steps and a small size of vector calculus. Now, this is actually has got a really hard concept for people, for the ancients to believe, because that would imply that something was impossibly small, and they were struggling with the universe being impossibly big, the absoluteness of the universe, of how you divide things up. So they had a lot of difficulties with that. The Greeks also had difficulties mixing the two concepts of time and distance together to come up with speed. The ancient Greeks never had a really hard concept of what speed was. So speed's in our society now, it's in our culture, but it wasn't always that way. There was someone who's known to be very quick, but that quickness was, they covered a distance and a time. The quickness was not this new concept we have of speed. The ancient concept they had covering a distance in a short interval of time. So many miles per hour, they didn't think of that as speed. They thought of that as a statement. So they would they'd work out as a sort of a triumph that if it took you an hour to travel 10 kilometers to a village, you could travel to a village 20 kilometers away in 2 hours. They found that difficult to actually go. So I just really wonder if you can hear over the noise of this bloody whippersnapper behind me. That's actually unbelievable. It's behind me. Okay. Let's go in. Now, one of the main strategies is to load, is to prepare the cognitive landscape for a student. So a student needs a lesson, they need the following components. They need to understand units, distance, measurement, graphing, observation, analysis, all these tools. And what you do is you say, well, it's like a machine, you're building a student as a machine, I need all these tools. So you do an few exercises on what are units, what are distances, what is motion, how do we plot it, because eventually we want to teach them kinematics, the description of motion. And so in order to construct it, if you can imagine their mind as a tabletop, you fill up the tabletop with a few things, check that it works, and then put it away. Check that it works, put it away. It's actually a high cognitive load aspect, working on their memory, and of course it's over a period of time. It needs a continuity of time, say 10 lessons. Lessons get up there, say if they fall away on lesson 8 or on lesson 3, they're tired or something like that. So you need a continuity to do it. So this is a high load, high, not risk, but, you know, requires a continuity there. And then you need error capturing on this heavy, high engineering technique of teaching kinematics. That is, you have to test how they understood this thing, and if they haven't understood it, you have to go back. And of course, the difficulty with error correction, rather than actually, so it's like teaching someone to putt. If you coach them too much to putt, they'll choke, you know, they'll affect other things, or they'll won't be in the zone. They'll be thinking about their coach rather than the ball going into the hole. So their performance will wane and will all fall apart. And that's what the evidence that we have, is that in teaching this, it is all falling apart. So in the 60s and 70s, where it was fairly simple, we had a high 25% people doing physics. Now we've got 9%, and of those percentage, none of them are interested in a physics career. Most of them are interested in banking, actuary. That's just to get a mark for it. So it's actually a devastating thing. It's actually a far worse system. It's sort of like walking into a Mayan civilization, which is about to collapse, but you're looking there, the buildings are still there, but they've been built by ancient civilizations, and their people are still in jobs, but they've been doing jobs in the shadow of an ancient way of doing it. So really, the way physics teaching is in a mess at the moment, coming across. And so these are just basic observations that there's some methodologies to how these people fall apart. Good God, heck, this is in the middle of the morning. This is, what is it? Well, it's 22. I'm going to have to peel off soon and do it. So the big question is, how do you teach kinematics well? And I'm going to have to stop. This noise is just ridiculously loud. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so the way that you teach it is with putting the things that you would normally teach as a as cognitive load into the student. You withdraw that and put it in the rules of a game. So the basic, and then rather than having variations, you have rules of a game, which most people do. So the actual game that I suggest is that a 1 millimeter, you have a grid square, a graph paper, 1 millimeter graph paper, around that amount, and you have a scale that 1 millimeter equals 10 meters. So what it means in terms of going forward up to kinematics is that a ball thrown upwards, it will move, say, at 20 meters per, or so, say 40 meters per second, will move 4 grid squares vertically per second, and after 1 second it will be moving only 3 grid squares, because that's having a deceleration of 10 meters per second. You don't say it's 10 meters per second initially, you just say we're going to move, play a few things where we move things per interval, and what you're doing is you're taking away all the variance and actually making a very simple thing. So What you do is that have basic game where you start at a corner on a hill that you draw. You colour in a hill there, so it naturally gets, by drawing a hill and getting a little figure standing on top of the hill, it naturally sets what is the ground, what's up, and all that type of stuff. Isn't that beautiful? So rather than an arrow pointing up, you draw a little hill on the bottom of graph paper, and automatically you've got the ground, earth, up, and things like that. And on that hill, you have a little stick figure, and it fires a ball. Initially, there's no gravity. And in this example, we'll get it going 40 meters a second across and 40 meters per second up, and there's no gravity. So each second, you count four across and four up. And it's basically, oh, this is ridiculous. I hope you can hear me over the bucket of noise coming over here. That will get you a series of points going upwards. Now, what you will do is put just freehand a little set of wings on your balls to indicate velocity. So basically, you can see the ball there having a sequence of balls showing you a sequence of time, a graph showing you a sequence of time with velocity, distance, X, Y, and Z. So what we're doing is, with preschool kids, we're bringing inside the curtain the actual knowledge and technology to that we introduce much later in the course. So this is what it is. It's innovative, rather than teaching things, making them rules, rather than actually going to someone who's high stressed, it's to preschool, so they can pick it up if they want to, and if they don't, it doesn't matter. There's heaps of time to go across. And there's basic observation of motion, so they can observe things and put a parallel between it. So rather than actually, at the point of teaching, trying to get them to memorize it, you teach it early, and when they have experiences, they can see it, and there's freeze frame things. So what you may want to do is that time-lapse photography, superimposed photography, where it puts the object on top of each other to observe it. And at this stage, you have different speeds, traveling a different amount of distance per second, you can do it with primary school students to work out that it's 4 squared plus 4 squared, the square root of. Teach them to do it. They can do that as a mechanical function without actually understanding as a method of working out an angle distance on a piece of graph paper. They don't have to understand all that to draw their length here. Then we modify it a little bit. I'm going to have to stop this soon just due to the sheer amount of annoying noise in the background. What the heck is it going on? This is just outrageous. Let's not chopping down trees. There's nothing worse than hearing someone chop down a tree. It just gets into your soul. Let's do 5 meters a second across the page. 50 meters a second up and across. After the second second, it's 50 meters a second across and 40 meters per second up. And then after the third second, it's 50 meters a second across and 30 meters per second up, and so on until you reach a point where it's 0 meters and then minus, and it goes down. And they'll be able to actually plot something and see whether their actual missile hits something else, so you can have someone else, you know, early on estimate a thing and put a little house there for the missile to hit. And all the time, this time going afterwards, drawing the actual velocity thing on it. So it's more an artistic thing. I've got a ball, and now it's a ball going in a sequence. So you actually got it as a form of cartoon. Going, and this is what a diagram is, and you've actually slipped in ahead of the time their first experience of the science cartoon of this, in which there is a sequence of things. So we show when a science picture will show something happening over a minute, and the object moving over a minute and going in a diagram to scale and stuff like that. This is very, very effective in pre pre-exposure. Now, if they learn it, they learn it. If they don't, they don't. But it's a much more relaxed thing. They have a natural thing, an ability to create and go. And especially if they're competitive, you have a competitive thing, one person doing it and the other. It's a rule-based system. And so the actual correction of a rule is far more natural in a game than in a where you're correcting the game to get the correct result rather than correcting the individual to assess the individual. So it's pressing the right levers at the right time in the right way and modifying it such it goes across. So you could say, hands are different. We're in a planet with double gravity, so it's double the amount or triple the gravity. You just introduce that. Now, the kinematics is, where the kinematics is the description of it. The dynamics is where, you're pulling dynamics further back, where you are saying the dynamics is caused by the strength of the gravitational field further up. Well, I'm coming to the end of this one, and there's a series of things. So the overall strategy here is that it's a no-lose strategy. For teaching primary school to go across. When you teach into HSC or the final years, you have to be really aware that this person needs to be treated gently, and there's enough people reading the riot acts and telling you how to do it. There's enough confusing. They can get it if they want to, their own possessions. So I think the basic idea of teaching through gentleness is constant. It's a constant thing. I think gentleness and teaching and gentle, you co-observe your, you share mutual witness to the world, and you witness their understanding growing as a profound thing of great interest. And it's sort of the witness of their understanding as opposed to measuring their understanding, measuring and evaluating and putting it in a box and creating a system that you do well if you are motivated by people thinking you're doing well. Sort of that obviously burns out. And I think this is a thing to do. It obviously will not happen in Australia, unfortunately. So, again, if you've got a small kid, a 10-year-old or something like that, just play this overall game, a free-form game. Let them make it up themselves. Say, look, this is a bitty game. I don't know exactly how to make the rules for two kids to play. And they play firing trajectories, and you might limit how much they can fire, the speed at which they can fire, and you can actually basically say, oh, the speed is that you do it this way, and you press this sequence of keys on the calculator. And I might actually do a YouTube on how to do it on a calculator to go across. I might even do a fundamental YouTube of showing how this is done. I think this will be an example of it. Of course, I'm sort of dead down on equipment to actually show this. I probably need a little. My camera's blown up, and its use of the computer camera is just insane. I'll think about doing it, going across. So this is the general idea. Well, thanks a lot for listening. And again, these are the lessons. I know everyone understands kinematics, dynamics, and they've got their mindset about teaching this when they've done all the steps. But that's true for classical understanding. This is opportunistic understanding. This is like the way everything gets marketed nowadays. You set up in the shopping centre and you miss a lot of customers, but you pick up a few good customers. It's the modern way of marketing, the modern way of doing things, rather than this cohort of things everyone's got to, as an army, rush to defend the nation and all these big stories. This is just much more humble, much more domestic, much more family. a family way of teaching, in as much that, say, in the ancient world, the Spanish are off the English coast, everyone's got to rush and busy themselves in a coherent manner, and then a few people stand out as heroes. So this is the, and then we celebrate heroes. It's sort of a less militaristic way of teaching. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.